the New Testament, we find quite a few names, or maybe we could call them descriptions, describing us as Christians. Some of them are very similar. Some of them are completely disjointed. But we're given a lot of names. For instance, we're called soldiers. We're Christian soldiers. We're to put on the whole armor of God. We're conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Very, very similar. But then on the other end of the spectrum, we're sheep. So there are various names, various descriptions that we are given to define who we are. And I think we can find something very applicable in each and every one of those. We'll save that for a lesson in the future. My favorite name, my favorite description, in fact, the one that is at the very top of my list, is where Christians are called heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, Romans 8 and verse 17. Now, I can relate to being a soldier. I grew up playing soldiers. I can relate to being a conqueror. I can even relate to being a sheep. But my finite mind simply cannot comprehend that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But that's what the Bible says. Paul also says in this context, in the context of Romans chapter 8, that we have not been given the spirit of bondage. Of course, he's talking about the spirit of the Old Testament. We've not been given that as our attitude, the spirit of bondage. Rather, the spirit of adoption. And that's where he's talking about here. We have been adopted. Sometimes we use the phraseology born again. But there's no difference in God's love for us, whether we were adopted or born again. It's one and the same. We are still heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Brethren, we're the children of God. And if we are children, then we are his heirs. Galatians 3:29, Paul says, and if we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, all nations of the world will be blessed. He says in Galatians 4, verse 7, therefore, we are no longer slaves. Rather, we're God's children. And if his child, then we are an heir of God through Jesus Christ. What I would like for us to do tonight, take that as our introduction. I want us to look at two different aspects of our inheritance. And I think Paul states, and I think logically we realize, it's very important for us to understand this heirship, joint heir with Jesus Christ, the inheritance that is with us. And the reason I say that is, brethren, our spiritual inheritance is what defines us. We are children of God. We are Christians. We belong to God. We're brothers and sisters together. That's what defines us. In a moment, I'm going to mention Ephesians 1. Verses 18 and 20. That's the passage we're going to use. But I'm going to hold that and mention it in just a moment. Now, I want to make a sensitive statement. So I'm going to try to be very, very sensitive. Let's say a man and a wife have three children. They raise them in the church. They grow up. They get married. They move off. But they still have been given a degree of inheritance. Not the inheritance that they will receive when the parents die, but they've still been given a degree of inheritance. We receive the reputation of our parents. I'm sure you're just like me, maybe not quite as much. I was raised here. I can hardly go anywhere and introduce myself and they say, oh, I knew your mom and your dad. So we are given the reputation of our parents. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not good. But it's part of our inheritance. It's part of being an heir. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, when the parents die, we receive another degree of inheritance. That's usually in property or wealth or something like that. But we receive part of our inheritance as we live, part of our inheritance after our parents die. And the exact same thing is true with our spiritual inheritance. To a certain degree, we have received our inheritance now. That's going to be our second point. But let's begin by talking about our spiritual inheritance. The inheritance that Peter says is reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. Now I alluded to Ephesians 1 just a moment ago. Paul says, and I'm going to read a little and paraphrase a little. Paul says that God wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. What he's saying is concerning this subject, God wants us to understand. It's good, it's necessary for us to understand. It's like being able to see it. He wants our eyes to be enlightened that we may know what is the hope of his calling. We always use Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, that's the calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? It's his to give. And God wants us to understand all of this. So let's look tonight first at this eternal inheritance. In Titus chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young preacher, a young Christian, and he's writing about the virtues of God's saving grace. And though not in the same words, he tells Titus the exact same thing that he wrote to the Ephesian brethren even before this time. He tells them that salvation does not come by the works of righteousness. It comes rather according to the mercy of God. By God's mercy, he saved us. Ephesians, he says, it's our obedience and God's grace. Here he says, it's our obedience and God's mercy. And then he says in verse 7, this is Titus 3 and verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's our hope. Our hope is anchored in heaven. And realizing that that is the case, what Paul is saying here is, realizing that that is the case, realizing that Peter will later write saying, our treasure is reserved in heaven, brethren, it makes it easier for us to face difficulty in this physical life. And we all face difficulty in this physical life. But knowing that a better day is coming, something beyond our comprehension, something beyond our imagination, helps us face the problems of life. Remember, it's not on the earth, it is in heaven, that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying. Those physical things, those temporary things, are in this lifetime exclusively. David wrote saying, oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you or respect you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. So we need to show this love, respect, fear, trust that we have in God. And Paul wrote, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So the Bible doesn't really go into great detail, doesn't give us the real detailed specifics of what's waiting for us. But again, brethren, it's going to be beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination, and we're looking forward to come. But before we receive our spiritual inheritance, what about right now? We know that after judgment, the faithful will be taken to heaven. But what about right now? Hasn't God already begun to share the inheritance that belongs to him with the faithful? Paul says yes. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in him we also trusted, after we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also, having believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The sealing of the Holy Spirit with promise. We read the next verse, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Hasn't God already given us part of this inheritance? David says yes. Psalm 36 verse 8, David is talking about being abundantly satisfied with the fullness of God. And then what about right now? Hasn't God already begun to share that inheritance with us? Even now, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, we're already partakers of the divine nature in Christ. 2 Peter 1, 4, we've already been given forgiveness of our sins. We've already been given freedom from guilt. 1 John 1, 9, Romans 8, verse 1. We've already been given love, joy, peace, and righteousness. Romans 14, freedom from the bondage of sin. Romans 8, happiness. Matthew 5, security. Psalm 91, and we could go on and on and on. Yes, there is treasure waiting for us in heaven. Yes, we will either have a mansion in heaven or a room in God's house in heaven. But God is even blessing us with that inheritance even today. And here's why. Because God wants us to use that foretaste of the inheritance so that we will produce a life of faith. And we talked a great deal about faith this morning. We talk a great deal about faith because without faith, it is impossible to please God. For if we believe in God, then we believe He is the exclusive deity of the universe and beyond. And that as the exclusive deity of the universe and beyond, God can do what He said He's going to do. Evolutionists want us to believe that from a tiny speck that cannot even be seen by the naked eye, all of this came into being. I think it's much easier to just realize God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I've heard people talk about the Big Bang. All right, let's call Genesis 1:1 the Big Bang. I don't care what we call it. God can do anything. God can do everything, as we discussed this morning. But God wants to give this to us as a foretaste, as an encouragement to build a life of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. Isaiah 1:19, if we are willing and obedient. 1 John 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Brethren, that's our inheritance. Yes, there's treasure waiting for us, but God has given us everything we need here. We need to use what He has given us, though, for the glory of God. That's why He gave it to us in the first place. And let's conclude with this verse. Colossians 3, these two verses, 23 and 24. And whatever we do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord we will receive the reward of the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope these words are an encouragement. The song of invitation has been announced. We'll get Barry to come on up and lead that. If you need to, won't you come as we stand together and sing.